Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, John Karsibayev.
Firstly, thank you so much for inviting me for this podcast. It's a pleasure to be there. So a quick intro of myself. So my name is Rick Howe. I'm principal at Speed Invest. So I'm currently leading and managing a deep tech investment, or some people call frontier investment, at Speed Invest.
That's exciting. Rick, thanks so much for making time joining me on the Ivy Podcast. Before we dive into, you know, the Speed Invest and all the great stuff on the frontier side that you guys are doing, which is super exciting, give us a thumbnail version of your career to date, where you come from, what's the background, what is the other cool stuff that you have done?
Sure, no problem. Yeah, so actually my background is really technical background. So I'm studying like computer science, artificial intelligence, pretty much like 11, 12 years ago at University of Edinburgh. And during that time, primarily study all those theoretical computer science plus, you know, a statistical probability, little bit also on GAN-VAE, which was a cold subject, but now it's becoming very popular. And then after that, I worked in banking and tech for a long time doing AI research, software engineering and stuff. And then accidentally, I would say, end up in the dark side of the ecosystem, start doing the early stage deep tech investment. And what I've been focusing on for my career at VC is always on deep tech, basically research-driven type of, you know, all IP-based technology.
Wow, that's super exciting. And it seems like almost a natural transition, almost going from like an operator practitioner to on the other side, as you mentioned, the dark side, which I joke about that all the time. You know, that it makes sense. And in a sense, that kind of was also similar path for me as well as a founder, entrepreneur, and at the corporate level, and using that experience now to help other companies to scale, grow, and whatever the case may be. So that's definitely makes perfect sense. Yep. So fast forward to right now with the Speed Invest, tell us a little bit more about what falls under your purview. What's your average day looking like?
Sure, no problem. So Speed Invest is a pan-European early stage VC fund. So we primarily focusing, most of our investment, I would say, focusing on pre-seed and seed stage tech-driven startups. And in terms of our geography, I would say 95% of our investment is in Europe. We can still do some, US investment, but I would say, like I said, probably less than 5%. And we basically, ticket size, I mean, normally invested from 500K up to, you know, 1.5 million. And we can go up or go down, really depend on the round size. And in terms of the area, so we primarily focusing on deep tech, you know, based a startup. When I say deep tech, it's basically startups that are building something very innovative in technology. And one unique thing about Speed Invest in Europe is we are quite a large team. We have nearly 80 people, 80 actually, people in the team. So half of the team are not doing investment. They provide something we call operational support, including like recruitment, sales, you know, business development, and all basically different kind of, you know, support that we can provide from the operational perspective. And most of those services are free services. It's part of our investment.
Yeah. Wow, that's super exciting. And are you guys primarily focused on the European markets when it comes to the early stage investing?
Yeah. So basically, I would say, like I said, 95%, yes, we focus on Europe. And most of the team member also based in Europe as well. So we do have a US office, but they mainly help basically European-based startups to expand into the US market.
Uh-huh. And the vision is to continue within the same structure, you know, in terms of geographical focus?
Yeah, I think in the long term, we definitely probably want to definitely consider to become, you know, a global player in the seed stage, you know, because if you look at Europe, there are very few funds who are concentrating on the seed stage. And we are already probably one of the largest seed funds, you know, in Europe. So that's what we are, you know, want to focusing on. In the future, from my understanding, is we still want to bet on the seed stage because that's where our expertise and knowledge, you know, has mm-hmm. been accumulated. Because SpeedyMass has been running for 10 years. We have invested more than 175 companies mm-hmm. so far. So we have accumulated lots of seed stage investment experience. And okay. we do believe that we can definitely help more, you know, seed stage company to move into the next stage.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And have you guys, you know, looked into any deals that are a little, you know, beyond the seed stages, you know, later stage, series A, B, and C, or is yeah. that, it's not the part of the thesis?
At the moment, it's not our thesis, but in the future, we probably want also want to raise some opportunity fund. You know, when I say opportunity, basically, because we got lots of pro rata in the seed stage.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the company reaches into relative late stage, actually, we can still execute our pro rata. So we mm-hmm. want to raise some opportunity fund. But in our call, it's still in the seed stage, I would say. Yeah, uh-huh. we always want to be the first institutional investor, you know, in any of those investments.
Got it. That's very interesting. And so the good portion of Ivy podcast listeners are executives, you know, Fortune 500 companies, very large organizations, because mainly that's where I got started and that's who I've interviewed the most. And a lot of conversations that we're having these days is also for those high net worth individuals, you know, looking for, to diversify their portfolios, either mm-hmm. to invest in the public market or the private sector, you know, opportunities to become LPs in different funds. It's always, you know, it's always a conversation tone. But those that are seeking to kind of dab into that space, what would be some of the recommendations you would have, maybe reflecting on your very early career, you know, stages when you were just getting into investments? Can you talk a little bit from that perspective?
Yeah, I mean, probably the simple way is if you think from the risk reward perspective, you know, so early stage is definitely involves more risk, particular for deep tech driven type of startup. Normally, they only have a little bit on the technology and it, you normally need to, how to say, encounter a long period of time to do the commercialization. So from the risk perspective, I would say it's definitely much higher than the late stage, which I believe most people are aware. But on the other side, on the reward side, you probably see there are actually more and more deep tech startup become unicorn. And also deep tech at the moment is a very hot topic. I mean, I believe it's not only in Europe, in Asia, in the US, this is getting very, you know, getting hotter and hotter because eventually the fundamental thing that can really change the economics and improve the society is actually coming from the technology itself. And at the moment in the whole world, you can see there's more and more invest into the deep tech, you know, fields such as, you know, artificial intelligence, AI stuff.
Right. Absolutely. No, that's a very, you know, interesting perspective into that. And you're right. Absolutely. From a risk perspective, but also risk reward ratio as well, you know, on the upside, it's an absolutely, you know, a lot of opportunities there. So definitely very interesting. When you were just starting out in, you know, in the seed stage and formulating your own personal, I guess, thesis as well,
yeah.
What was the process like? Obviously, following along with some of the convictions of the overall fund, paired with your personal convictions. Tell us, how did that chemistry work? How did you come about actually formulating your own kind of formula for investing?
Yeah, definitely.
Share some experience there.
Yeah. I mean, so firstly, as I mentioned, I'm only focusing on deep tech investment. Mm-hmm. And actually, deep tech investment is quite different from many other, you know.
So define deep tech a little bit further.
Yeah, maybe I can give you my own definition because there's so many definitions.
Yeah, exactly. It's so broad and we always hear MIML and then it's, you know, just everyone has their own interpretation. But yeah, please do so.
Yeah. So normally, I define basically three criteria. The first criteria is I normally expect there is some scientific breakthrough or some innovation in the technology itself. So when I say some, I don't mean you need to build something, for example, nobody can do in the world, but at least I can see there is some unique way you're doing stuff. For example, like in AI, everybody know you have to train the parameter, but maybe you can raise some new way, basically how to basically train the parameter to optimize the machine learning models. That's one criteria. The second criteria for me is very straightforward is, say if I took a team of Facebook or Google engineer out, I'm expecting they will not be able to copy and duplicate your product within 6 to 8 months. So I want to see there is some complexity in the product as well. And then lastly, normally I prefer in the founding team, there is one people who really focus on the engineer and product side. So that's basically my definition of deep tech. Regarding the sectors, industry, I'm pretty agnostic. I invest in anything from software AI, even to quantum, you know, technology, and also any material science stuff as well.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And that kind of, you couldn't have set me up any better for the next question I want to ask is, you mentioned, yes, you're industry agnostic, you focused on these particular technologies and trends, so almost. Tell us a little bit more about some of the trends that you are personally very excited about. What are you researching, I guess, to the extent that you can share with us in terms of what is the next big thing? What are you excited about?
Yeah. Definitely one of the hottest topics in deep tech these days is quantum technology. So that's why if you check my profile, actually, I recently just did two quantum investments. One is called CATS, based in Bristol in the UK, who are doing something called quantum key distribution. So basically, as you know, the classical computer can only process, you know, binary bits 1 and 0. And what quantum did is something called superposition. So it's doing something much more faster, much more quicker, much more efficient than the classical computer. And some of the problem, for example, you probably need hundreds of years for classical computer to process, but quantum-based computers can really solve things, you know, very quickly. And within the quantum, we have different thesis and different, you know, understanding, like quantum communication, quantum full stack, quantum computer, and also quantum security. So those are the areas that we are quite interested in the deep tech at the moment. I think the whole industry is pays a lot of attention. You know, INQ recently just did a SPAC, you know, which was a very high valuation. I think Bessemer Venture and a couple of big guys, big VC fund, all invested in the early stage.
Well, that's very interesting and definitely, you know, resonates on so many levels, especially coming out of pandemic with a lot of the different trends that have emerged in the last couple of years. I think it's going to be exciting to see basically where the market trends are shifting towards to, you know, in the next period, which one of the trends that I've been personally pretty excited about is kind of the overall concept of future of work. When we talk about insurgence of, you know, the contingent workers, contractors, consultants, I'm sure you see that in your space as well with the companies you guys are looking at. Share with us your thoughts around that. Where do you see the overall kind of workforce shift gear, you know, leaning towards to? Because it's such a interesting time, especially for startups to be able to find the right talent. It's extremely challenging and it's a candidate driven market. There's so many opportunities out there. What are your thoughts, especially when you hire for your teams or even you work with startups in your portfolio, how to win that war on talent acquisition from your perspective?
Yeah, that's a really great question because for deep tech, actually finding the right talent is always challenging.
Impossible.
Yeah. Like for example, like quantum, if you look at, say, for example, you're looking for one particular skill set in the quantum, there are actually probably less than 100 people in the world know that kind of stuff, have that kind of skill set. So that's normally what we do is we normally build a strong relationship with the industrial player. So we know whatever, if you're looking for a certain type of skill set, we know where to looking for the right person. That's one angle. Secondly is we definitely build lots of relationship with all the different startups within our portfolio. So we share the knowledge where to find the best people actually within that certain industry. But overall, I would say for deep tech, it's really networking based, you know, relationship is going to be really replace an important role because there are less people available, particularly for certain industry and for certain technology.
Right. Absolutely. No, that's especially in your space with, you know, in deep tech, it's very unique value proposition and scarcity of particular skill set. I think it's even another layer of challenge, I think, that you add. So for the audience that I have that are early stage career professionals that are in technology, probably maybe not even deep tech, but, you know, in some sort of engineering or architecture type of roles, if they are looking to invest a little bit further in terms of particular skill sets, or they want to get into the direction of deep tech, which is definitely the future, what would be some of your recommendations for them to consider in terms of developing a particular skill set or technology stack? Talk to us from that standpoint.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, probably for early professional who just, say, for example, graduate from school, are looking for entering into startup. I think a couple of things you have to make sure that you fully understand is, when you graduate, when you just want to enter into the different careers, if you enter into startup at the beginning, you probably need to do millions of things in one role. You know, you will not only doing, say, for example, you interview for software engineer role, but you may also need to do a little bit on business analyst, the software testing as well. So you have to basically educate yourself a little bit, like saying, this is not only for software engineer. Actually, you will have the opportunity to do many, many different things. But if you go to like big corporate, they will provide lots of good training at the beginning. And then you will probably focus on one particular task at the beginning. And then you will just focus on that type of thing. So I think that's on the mind side. You probably need to prepare yourself first. And secondly is, for startup, you always need to make sure that for example, for deep tech, we normally advise all the employee within the startup team to read, research paper, to read the latest news, to understand the trending as well. So make sure that you always, prepare basically in advance lots of those technology challenges and also the new things. I would say probably the most two important things from my perspective. For the other things, I would say very similar. You know, if you work for deep tech startup, non-deep tech startup, or even working for a large corporation.
Right. No, I love that advice. Great recommendations. So with kind of to go back a little bit to your earlier days breaking into venture capital, in terms of recommendations for those that are leaning towards that type of direction as a career path, to create these opportunities for yourself, to be able to get exposure to certain venture capital firms or other private equity, funds. What would be some of your recommendations in terms of being able to carve that path and open as many doors of opportunity for yourself if you want to break into that type of industry?
Yeah. I mean, some of the common advice probably people saw online is you have to do some internship with, certain VC fund, particularly if you don't have any relevance, for example, startup or any investment experience, then it's better you've done some internship. That's much more easier. And secondly is also old story. You have to build some networks. So because for most of the time, it's all coming from someone introduced you to someone, and then there's an opportunity in there. And so I probably don't want to mention all those common advice, which you can Google online. I think the key thing, for me, while looking for analyst associate in my team, the key thing I'm always looking for is whether he has his own investment thinking. When I say the investment thinking is, for example, everybody is talking about one thing. What's your thinking? How did you really conclude, something? I'm not always looking for something different, but I just want to make sure that you have a very unique, logical way to think about things, not just following everyone's trend or everyone's advice. I think that's quite critical. And lastly is, for seed stage investment, have a good relationship with founder is really fundamentally important. So I'm always looking for people who is natural relationship builder with the founder. That's probably, I would say, two things that I always look at while looking for new analysts in my team.
Right. Yeah, I think, just that eternal curiosity for things and always looking for creative ways to solve a problem. I think those are very underestimated skills. So it goes kind of within the lines of what you're talking about. And on the other spectrum, when you partner up and start talking to a lot of founders, companies of various size, what are some of the, I guess, and I know it's a loaded question, but some of the traits and skills that you personally value that really make you think that, wow, this founder is really something unique, something that really stands out, that motivates you to continue the dialogue with that part of, that interaction? Because I talk to a lot of founders, and for me, kind of the overall overarching theme is, be a friend, don't be a parent. and build that a very long lasting relationship. I think that's kind of at the core of how I operate. Curious to get your take on that as you start talking to a lot of founders.
Yeah, sure. I think one key thing for me is as an investor is like the first thing is I want to have a feeling whether the founder is listening, you know, to what I mentioned or what I said. I think that's probably one fundamental thing at the beginning. When I say listen, it doesn't mean he is agree or he doesn't agree. It's mainly whether he really processed the information, which I'm, you know, particular at the beginning, because that's quite important for the future. If I did the investment, how am I going to work with him? I think that's the first thing. And second thing is, for seed stage, normally my experience, particularly for deep tech, you will encounter so many problems, particularly if you're from a strong academic background. Then you will change from academic to become a more business-driven, commercial-driven. Then your determination, also how you handle the problem, is actually another key thing for me to look at. Like, for example, if you encounter lots of pressure, if you having encounter some problem, how you really to get over it and whether you can cope with the large pressure. I think that's probably like two simple things I sometimes look at given, you know, the deep tech focus.
Right, absolutely. I think it's, you know, partner with a lot of really interesting founders. It's, you know, they go through such a journey, you know, to be able to find somebody with whom they can resonate and who will be that kind of value add investor, so to say. I think it's super interesting. Rick, in terms of the sources that you utilize on a daily basis to keep yourself educated, to keep yourself ahead of the curve, share with us your content diet. What are the different sources you consume? And then the second part, I want to talk about the different book recommendations.
Yeah. So for me, I actually read a lot of research paper every day. So when I say research, basically technology research-based paper, there are quite a lot of websites available online. So because I'm doing deep tech, so I always need to make sure I keep updated with the latest technology. And interestingly is some of the startup I invested is actually coming from the research paper, because when they write something, I read about it. And because I invest in super early stage, then I sense this technology is very interesting. And then eventually I reach out to them, you know, to have some quick discussion, actually. Yeah, so that's probably one of the data sources I normally do, quite different from lots of other generalists we see, I would say, you know. Mm-hmm. So I look at lots of technical stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, the great recommendations, and I can relate. I try to read as many white papers in my space. You know, ARK Investments Fund is, you know, very interesting to me. They do a lot of publications in the space that I'm focusing on. So that's very interesting. And last but not least, what are you currently reading in terms of a book, and which book that you always recommend to others, and why is that?
Yeah, I mean, actually, there are quite a lot of interesting book I'm read, you know, recently. Maybe one book which is quite interesting, actually. It's something written quite a lot on the latest AI research change. I forgot the exact name, but basically they predict lots of the new technologies that are behind AI that can be applied, you know, in the future. And as you can see, that's basically my topic, you know, from the investment side. So that's why I keep reading that. From the general, I would say, you know, any of these days, I think there's so many good startup books you can read. There's no like specific one I would say recommend. I think the key thing is just to get probably the most important things from each of the book, and then eventually you know, get the major idea.
Right. No, I love these recommendations, and for our listeners, we'll make some of these available in the show notes. Rick, I can't thank you enough for your time today. It was very short and insightful conversation. At least, you know, I learned quite a bit. I love, with all of my guests, what I love doing is doing a follow-up episode in about a year and revisit the conversation from a year ago and see if everything we've talked about still makes sense, still applies. So those are usually a lot of fun. So I'm definitely looking forward to doing that with you. And, you know, I really appreciate your time today.
Sure, no problem. Thank you so much for the time as well.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.